gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 346. I'm your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we are joined by a man who won't start talking unless you pony up an additional $4.99, Wombat.
You haven't ponied up the additional $4.99. Why should I be talking?
I have the season pass, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't say that.
Right.
Here I am.
Welcome to the show, Wombat. And of course, as always, we have Shipwreck.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I can only think of one clever thing to say per show introduction.
Yeah, it's all good.
And yeah, sorry.
No, I'm fine with it.
So welcome to the show. Yes, I think we'll survive. We have a big show today because the Xbox One came out, so we'll be able to talk. Well, two of us will be able to talk about it, and one of us will listen. You'll have to wait to find out which is which. And I think we'll also have more PS4 impressions, since we've had two of us have had a longer time to play with it, and one of us still doesn't have one. Happy Hanukkah, Wombat.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Very exciting. It's the first night of Hanukkah. We gave some gifts out tonight. Everyone seemed pleased.
Wait, tonight is the first night of Hanukkah? It's Wednesday?
Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, yeah. So tomorrow's the first full day of Hanukkah, which would also be Thanksgiving. But tonight we lit candles and gave gifts. Sabrina got a new desk, which she was thrilled with. It holds all of her art supplies. And she could do her homework in it, at it, on it. I don't know. There's a verb I'm not using properly.
Right.
And Elliot got a stuffed Hulk that talks when you squeeze it.
What did you get?
I got to see my children enjoy their presents.
That's what I get pretty much every time.
I'm getting to hear my child scream at the top of her lungs right now. So hopefully that's coming through.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I heard that. I got that in my house still, so, you know.
Right. Actually, I did get a good Hanukkah, kind of a funny Hanukkah present. Apparently, one of my parents' friends is still involved with the temple that I used to attend, where I went to my Hebrew school and Sunday school nonsense.
Sure,
and I guess they were doing some cleaning out of the files there. And they found like all the kids' old, school files that have copies of all the report cards and everything. And so my parents' friend gave the folder to my parents. And apparently I was a very bad boy in Hebrew school and Sunday school. And as I look at the report card, it gets worse as I get older. And I think it must be because I started to come to terms with the fact that I felt like it was all just a waste of time and nonsense. But let me read you some of these choice quotes from my teachers.
So this is like show feedback this week. I'm going through the comments right now. There aren't many, and there's really not much to bring up. So this is in lieu of show feedback.
We get to hear
Hebrew
what
school feedback.
Cheapy's Jewish teachers said about him.
This is show feedback from 1984, basically, when I was 11.
Awesome.
When I was 11.
In a world without Ghostbusters.
Right. So here's a few of them. Capable student, but a behavior problem. Lacks maturity. Can do better. Very immature. Very immature. Laughs a lot. Hold on here. Could try harder. Rather immature and silly at times. Very immature, doesn't follow directions, very negative attitude.
Are you sure these weren't fortune tellers, like, or soothsayers?
Well, I got better.
Well, this is Hebrew school, so it could have been like a rabbi, and it is a known fact that all rabbis can predict the future. So
no, I was a good student when I got older. I was.
They said you were a good student. They just said you were immature and you lacked focus.
How old were you in 1984?
I was 11.
11. What kind of an 11-year-old boy needs to be mature?
Well, I remember getting sent to the principal's office.
I guess so.
But the highlight is I actually got one of those. I'm looking at it. It's called the parent contact form. So those other things were just off, like, report cards. So this is a special note that was sent to my parents in September of 1984, where it says, "Dear parent, your attention is called to the fact that your child David is not doing satisfactory work in Hebrew. David is inattentive and disruptive in class and does not do his homework assignments. He is below grade level in reading and vocabulary comprehension. We cannot tolerate disruptive behavior in class. There is a heavy workload this year, and we ask your cooperation in these matters." But so that one, and my parents don't even remember getting that, so they think that I might have just like thrown that right in the garbage and never showed it to them. Although it did. Yeah,
David, your behavior in Hebrew school is a shanda.
See, I don't even know what that means. So I guess this
wait,
this these are accurate.
Let's explain this to the. To the Christian folk here.
Yes.
What is, you get report cards from Hebrew school? What is this?
So, you know, every Jew is supposed to be bar mitzvahed at the age of 13. So in order to be able to participate in your bar mitzvah, you need to be able to read Hebrew. So you have to go to Hebrew school. I went twice a week. I think it was like maybe 2 hours both times.
I think it was like an hour, 1 hour twice a week. So okay. 2 hours a week.
I think mine was a little, maybe longer. I don't know. It felt
you
very
went to
long.
A stricter. It sounds like you went to a stricter temple than me.
Fake
though.
Your way through some Hebrew, basically.
Because they don't teach you. They don't really teach you Hebrew. They only teach you how to read it and write it. They don't teach you any grammar or anything that would help you have a conversation with somebody who speaks Hebrew. It's not like when you take Spanish in high school. It's not like that. You're just basically learning just enough so that you can do your bar mitzvah, which, you know, it's hard to get very excited about that. Yeah, all these things. David did better this term, but less laughing would have helped. Have a nice summer. David has started to show some effort in his Hebrew work, but he is still too involved in having fun in class. Yeah, it says, when David tries to be serious, his work is very good. However, he socializes too much during class time. Yeah, I just thought it was a total waste of time.
Because it is a total waste of time. It has nothing to do, for those who don't know, it has nothing to do with like your regular school work. This is an outside of school.
Right. Which I had really no interest in going to.
No one has any interest of going. As soon as the day after your bar mitzvah, you're done. It's like graduating from school at 13.
Well, they had like an optional Hebrew high school you could go to, which I like, you know, there was no chance that was happening. I literally burned my Hebrew school books after the class ended. Me and my friend went on the sidewalk and had a bonfire right in front of my house. My parents probably wouldn't be too excited to know about that. So Hebrew school. Yeah. There's more, but maybe I'll just post these up instead of
we don't get grades in our Sunday school classes.
Oh, yeah. There's actual grades here. Yeah. And I guess S is satisfactory, N is needs improvement, and G is good. I got a lot of N's in my in my behavior. Oh, I got an N plus.
GPD, the new N word.
David completes all the required assignments. He must be reminded quite frequently to be more serious.
Be more serious. Why so serious?
Exactly. Anyway, I thought that was just good timing with the all the Thanksgiving stuff. I mean, the Hanukkah. I've already had two Thanksgiving meals already, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. So I'm winning Thanksgiving so far. Anyway, I want to, you know, obviously we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the new consoles. So have either of you, two people wrote in for our Watch This Bitches segment, Macleshed and Silent Dante. They both wanted to know if any of us have been watching Almost Human. Because people seem to really be into this show. Have either of you guys watched it?
No, but I want to. I have a coworker that's also been watching it, and she tells me like every other day, asking me if I've watched it yet. It stars Carl Urban, you know, the guy from Dread,
yes,
and Bones from Star Trek.
Yes, I
so it looks really
Hugh
good.
Jackman.
Not Hugh Jackman,
right?
Just no.
The guy that I saw like your tweet. Was that a tweet? Your joke?
What?
Almost Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that was what I said it should be called. But
yeah, it was funny, I guess, to some people.
Yeah, right. To me it was.
Have you watched it, Chip?
No, I've watched the commercials. I see the commercials all the time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I guess it's about, I don't know if I'll like robots. It or not, because the humor that's in the commercials just seems kind of hokey to me. So, I don't know.
That's the problem I have with most. Is this a network show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with most network shows. But I'll watch it.
I'll give it a shot just because it does. The premise looks okay. Like, I mean, it's almost RoboCop kind of.
Yeah.
I like that.
Did you watch any more Arrow?
I haven't actually watched last week's.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, Ship. Sorry.
Oh, no. No.
I didn't think so.
No. It's a good show. I don't know that I'll keep watching it.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. You have to trust us.
I've got all of these games to play now because we have all these new consoles.
I know. I have so much to play. We could get to that, but let's... are there any new releases we want to talk about?
Yes. There's a whole bunch of new releases. A whole bunch of stuff came out for Xbox.
Lay it on me.
Yeah, all the Xbox One stuff came out. So,
well, maybe we'll just go right into the Xbox One discussion in terms of like the general impressions of the console and then move on to the games and then...
Well, then if we're going to do that, we should get out of the way that the Nintendo had some big releases as well. They had Super Mario 3D World came out for Wii U, which everybody says is great, and Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds came out for 3DS, which Wombat says is great.
Mm-hmm.
I have finished the game.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And if I had to pick my favorite game of the year this very second in time, it would probably be that game.
Wow.
So if you have a 3DS or a 2DS, I don't judge, and you don't pick up this game, then I don't understand why you would even own that console.
I have one.
You should own that game.
I don't want to play. I don't want to play a portable system. That's the problem.
No, you only want to play a portable system if it's a portable system that's playing the game that you could be playing in your living room, but you want to play it on a portable system in your bed.
I don't use that, dude. You think I'm really playing PC games on my Shield?
Or PS4 games on your Vita?
I'm not. I can't get past the fact that you have to use an inferior controller to play a game that you could play on it with a better controller right in your own house. So that's pretty much the stopping point for me on both of those things. Anyway, well, that's good. I'm glad that Nintendo's got some hot shit coming out.
I think Nintendo's
going
to have a good holiday. I've seen a lot of people picking up Wii U's when I've been out and about at the stores. So Mario bundle is doing quite well.
Yeah, I can understand that. Then that makes sense to me. It was the first bundle that I looked at and said, "Oh, that's it. That's because that's pretty much all I want is the console in that game."
Right. That the thing is, like, I can't. I wouldn't buy a system just to play one game.
Wait, it's not that game, though. It's the old Mario game that's bundled with it.
It's the old Mario. True, because now the new Mario is out. So now I guess it would be that console plus the new Mario game.
Yeah, the bundle is the new Super Mario Brothers Wii U plus the Luigi DLC.
I see.
Which is, it's a
pretty good.
That's a good game,
it's a good
too.
Deal.
Yeah. For the Vita, Tearaway came out, and that got fantastic reviews as well. I'm sure we're all waiting for that to hit PlayStation Plus.
Yep, it's already on sale, actually, I believe, at Amazon and Best Buy for $29.99.
I've just been conditioned now that I know if I just wait, it'll be there for free. I've already paid for it.
And if you wait 7 years, you might get some Xbox games for free, too.
Right. Original Xbox games.
Exactly. I'm waiting for Jade Empire to be on there next week.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
It's disturbing.
What were the games for gold this week?
Gears of War and what is it? Destroy All Robots or Fighting Robots? Or
Destroy All Robots. You got it.
No, it's not okay. Destroy All Robots, is it? It's
Shoot All Robots?
Shoot All the Robots or something.
Right.
Shoot Any Robots. Which that game's new.
Game,
newer.
Game you played and game you didn't care about. That's what I think they are.
Yeah.
They obviously don't care about.
They really don't care.
About this program.
Nope.
All right. So that's the new releases?
Yeah. Except, and then all of the Xbox One stuff, which we're going to talk about.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, One of us doesn't have an Xbox, and that one of us is me, because I mistakenly ordered it with the cheap shipping. Let me ask you guys a question, okay? Here are the two shipping options when you order something overseas from Amazon, and I'm going to ask you to pick which one you think sounds like the faster shipping option. You have Amazon Global Priority and Amazon Global Expedited. Wombat, which one is faster?
Global Expedited.
Shipwreck, which one is faster?
Expedited.
No. So I'm 4 for 4 on asking this question to people, and everybody has picked Expedited so far. But no, it is Priority that is faster. In Amazon's defense, it does, underneath that, it does give you like the date range. But somehow, you know, we ordered these things on the bus back from the press conferences on our iPhone. So I guess I wasn't paying attention. And I'm starting to think that that brownie that I had before the press conference might have been laced
tainted.
With something.
It might have, there might have
and
been
no time in that 4 months between ordering it and it getting shipped, did you ever go back and look at your order?
I did look at it and it said expedited. So I was like, all right, I'm expedited. I'm good to go.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Yeah, so I mean, it's my fault. It's completely my fault, but it so it's been sitting. My Xbox has been sitting in New Jersey for about a week, but I think it's on its way finally right now. So by next show, hopefully, we'll be good to go. So who wants to go first? I mean, how are we gonna work this discussion?
Am I going first?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I want to hear.
Go for it, Wombat.
Yeah, let's talk. You know. Talk about the OS and the interface first. Rick F. wants to know what we think about it.
You know, I got the console. I took it out of the box. And I know people talk about how big and ugly it is. I kind of like how big and ugly it is. And I set the whole thing up. And I do have my cable box running through it. And the first thing that I did when I had it all on, and I finally figured out why my sound wasn't playing any sound at all, because I had it set to the wrong setting on my receiver, which was my own fault. So as soon as I had sound coming out, I was like, I can't believe that this actually works.
In what way?
Like, I was watching TV, you know, through the Xbox, and I could, excuse me, very basically hit the circle, the circle button, the middle button. And it'll take me right into that menu screen that you're sort of used to with the 360. It does look different, but you understand what I'm saying. And yet, one of those rectangles is your TV playing shows with all that other stuff around it. Like, you know, click to see your friends and click to hit Netflix and click for whatever game they recommend based off of your playing preferences. So the first time you do that, it actually is. It's like a little kind of like, what is this?
Right. And do you find that the TV experience is improved over your normal cable box?
You know, it's not that my TV experience is it any better or any worse. That is what I can say. It's not like, oh my God, I need this to watch television. It doesn't change the way I watch TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, occasionally I will use the audio. Like if my kids are yelling at me to put on the Disney Channel and the remote control is on the other side of the coffee table, I can just say Xbox Watch Disney, and that works. Totally works.
And it's fast and everything just like they showed.
It's not as fast as changing the channel.
Okay.
But it's faster than me walking over to the coffee table and changing the channel.
It's as fast as changing the channel for me, but maybe that's because I'm used to the method that the Harmony does it.
Yeah, the Harmony, when I had a Harmony, you know, 5 years ago, there was a little delay, so it wouldn't surprise me
doing the same thing the Harmony does as far as like entering in one number in at a time, and it's got to be like kind of spaced out. But yeah,
but it totally works.
I think it changes the way I watch TV a little bit, in that it introduces some ADD into it, to where you're like, it's commercials. I guess I'll see what's going on in my Xbox. And then you hit the guide button, then you flip around on the Xbox, and then the commercials end, and then you go back to watching TV.
And that's totally true too. It's like, oh, I wonder which friends of mine are online, or even that wall where it shows you what everyone's playing. I'm like, oh, I wonder what people are playing right now. And you go to that during a commercial break, or even the, you know, there's that laziness of it's the end of a work day and I'm exhausted and I'm watching TV and there's part of me that goes, I'd really like to play a game right now, but I really don't want to like go through the process of changing the source on my television, which sounds like such a lazy, awful thing to say.
It is.
But you know what? It is, but it's still a thing. But now the fact that I just have to hit one button and go from TV to game.
It's always on. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that it's always on. It's crazy that it doesn't bother me in any way. And it definitely, there's definitely room for improvement. There's definitely a learning curve. You know, like learning all the motion commands or how to snap, how to unsnap easily. Every now and again, I'm like, huh?
The voice commands, or you said motion commands. Are there motion commands?
Motion commands.
What are the motion commands?
Motion commands. Oh, so yeah, exactly. I had to watch a little video of this to be like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. So if you take your hands, like take two hands out, if you're doing this, if you're sitting on the train commuting or on a bus, take your two hands out and put them together in the middle, kind of like your two fists touching.
Like I'm praying?
And then pull them apart. That'll go from that menu screen to whatever you have in the big box to full screen. And if you do the opposite motion, taking your hands that are apart and putting them together, that'll take you to the box menu screen, the same as if you hit the little center button on your controller.
Like pinch and pull on the iPad.
Exactly.
Huh. I haven't tried any of that. I've just been doing all the voice stuff.
I tried that today for the first time because I didn't realize that my Xbox controller was on the dining room table and I was sitting on the couch and I had everything on, but the TV wasn't big. So I'm like, let's try, you know, the stretch. And I tried the stretch and it worked. And I'm like, well, look at that. That totally works. And then I said, Xbox, watch ESPN. And then it went right to ESPN. Because I like having, when I work from home, which is what I did today, I like having ESPN on in the background because it just kind of repeats the same stuff over and over and over again. And it's easy to work to.
Do you find that the motion controls work better, more responsive than the original Kinect?
You know, I've barely used them. I did play the Kinect Sports demo. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, you know, it's that jet ski game and it's not a very good game.
Right.
But the Kinect works. And in my small space, it does actually read my whole body now, the old one didn't do.
The range on this thing's pretty impressive too. Like when I was setting it up, I Skyped with Cheapy and my family room's, it's a big room, and
it's the size of my apartment probably.
It's a good portion of your apartment, yes. and I could walk all the way around it, and the camera would follow me as I was walking, which was cool. Looked good.
Super yeah, Skype. We did Skype this over the weekend with my in-laws who live in Florida. And every time the kids, because, you know, I don't know if you know this about children, but they like to run around and bounce off things. So every time they would get up and down off the couch and around and walk around my wife while she's trying to talk to her parents, the camera would just keep moving with the kids and changing and adjusting accordingly. But it did it every time. I mean, you know, when this thing works, it works really well and it's kind of cool.
It sounds like it works most of the time now, as opposed to
some of the voice
working.
Commands. I still find like changing channels. I still can't get it to go to NBA TV. I know there's. I have to set up my favorite channels and everything. I've heard that helps some.
Okay,
but a lot of the channels that are just letters, it seems to have a more difficult time because all of those channels sound the same.
Right. Yeah, I have some channels that, like, I tried cooking. It still won't go to cooking channel, and cooking channel isn't on the one guide. Like, the channel just isn't there. It's weird.
Are you sure you picked the right provider? And
Yeah. Oh. No, I it's not my favorites one, but the TV one above it, the channel that I want to go to just isn't on the guide. It's strange. Because I started setting everything as favorites. I'm like, okay, I'll do, here's Food Network, here's Travel Channel. Right between Food Network and Travel Channel should be the Cooking Channel. There's no Cooking Channel.
But yeah, overall, it's like it's very futuristic when you're using it. It's
yeah, and the one guide is missing the Netflix app, which makes the one guide for me almost pointless.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm glad it has Amazon Instant Watch there.
Oh,
I mean,
it has
that's kind of cool.
I didn't even know that had that.
Yeah, it has the Amazon the Amazon Instant. So if you have Prime, it's definitely worth, you know, all you have to do is open that app once and it'll show up there. So the apps that you can get to show up on the One Guide that aren't Netflix, you can get the CW app to show up and the FX app to show up and the Amazon app to show up and the NFL app to show up. So it's kind of, you know, I guess it's cool to be able to flip through that. If I ever miss an episode of Arrow, I could very easily find it.
Does that mean like you can search across universal apps, you know, search universally across apps? Like if I'm looking for a specific show, it'll show me if it's on Hulu or Netflix. Well, I guess not Netflix because you said it's not working. But.
Exactly. But Hulu is on there. Okay. Hulu is one of them. I just don't have Hulu, so I don't have it.
Okay.
But yeah, you could see it doesn't show everything that's on Amazon, but it shows a pretty good selection. And it has three different bars. So you could see a selection of Amazon, you know, popular films, popular TV shows, and popular kids shows. And it has like two dozen that are like in a row that you could like quick hit, essentially.
Right. Do you find that the interface in general is fast, slow, easy to find stuff? I mean,
it's not as fast as the
PS4. It's relatively fast.
But it also has a lot more going on than what the PS4 does.
And it can be confusing. There is a learning curve.
Yeah, definitely. I can't, like, it's a little bit less of a learning curve, obviously, coming from the 360 to this. But I know you bought one for your dad, Cheapy.
Yes. Yes, for his birthday.
And he has not used the 360 before.
No.
I am interested to see what his experience is like.
Me too. That's why I bought it for him.
Because it's.
I told my mom, I'm like, when he's setting it up, make a video. No, I don't want to be. I'm very private. I don't want to be on YouTube. Forget that. So he hasn't set it up yet because they're on there. He's going to set it up in Florida.
Because there's like all kinds of stuff in there, but it's kind of a lot of it's hidden away. You have these new buttons, like you have that menu button instead of a start button, and that brings up different things. You have to learn all the voice commands. I didn't even know there was motion commands. So there's definitely going to be a learning curve with it, but it's going to be interesting to see how they expand it too. Because like right now you go to games and it shows like the, I don't know, 15, 20 games, whatever there is out. But there's no really, I don't know, genres type things. They're just kind of all in there.
Right.
And it's difficult to find. Like if you're looking for demos, there's not like really a section that you just go to get to the demos right now.
Are there demos?
Yeah, there's demos for NBA Live. There's demos. You played the Kinect Sports when I told you about it.
Yeah, that's the only one I know because it's right there. Like it's a suggestion.
Yeah, I think there's a FIFA demo maybe. There's like a handful of demos, but.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's this whole thing.
There's also no elegant place to put the Kinect itself.
Correct.
You know, I have it in front of my TV, but I also have a sound bar, and apparently that's a big no-no.
Right. Like they say at least a foot away from any speaker.
So, but as I think the assumption that we have is because it'll interfere with the voice commands. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not going to ruin my Kinect.
No.
Yeah, and my voice commands work fine the way I have it set up. And it's not like it's the end of the world, but I would like to not have my Kinect in front of my soundbar.
I don't understand.
But it doesn't come with a mount to put it on top of the TV.
Right.
And
how
I don't really have a
up?
Shelf behind my TV.
Don't you think it's really in their own best interest to build some sort of clip into the Kinect? Because obviously you want everybody getting the best experience possible. And it sounds like putting it on top of the TV is probably the best way to do it, just in terms of getting the most functionality out of it.
Actually, so, you get the most. It sees the most by being down and in front.
What?
Is that? That's not what the, that's not what the manual says. On. Yeah.
Oh, really? Because that's the way it worked for me. It said if you have less than 2 feet, put it down. And if you have more than 2 feet, put it up.
2 feet of what?
2 feet of space.
You have less than 2 feet of space?
No,
of
I don't
what?
Have less than 2 feet. It said like approximately the 2 foot range. And I'm like, well, I have about two feet.
2 foot range between what and what?
Between you and the Kinect.
Who's sitting 2 feet away from their television?
I don't know. My kids, really. But
it says like, it gives a recommended range, and it's something like 6 feet up in the air to a foot below your TV, I think, or 6 inches below your TV.
6 inches, yeah.
So that's the range that they say is good. Like, I don't...
So I looked it up. Yeah, so I was surprised to see that there's no mount built into it, because really, I mean... It's a piece of plastic that goes on the end, but the webcam I use has a little thing that will let you clip it onto a monitor, and so I see that
they're selling the mount. For this, then probably.
What's that? No, but it's attached to the camera. It doesn't come off.
Oh, okay. Because
I'm saying it's just built in. Okay, like, there's a screw on the bottom
of it that would just be like any kind of camera screw.
Right. So I wound up ordering the mount for it, and it's $20 for the mount. And it just seems like a total ripoff. Like, I don't feel good about that, about having to pay for that. And it's just really in their own best interest to getting it to work as best as possible to build the thing in. I don't know. Seems like a little mistake there.
So we've covered TV.
Yes. How about the game?
Sports is next.
Okay, sports.
We get, that's right. It's TV, 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 sports, TV, 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 sports, 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 sports. Games, TV, 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 sports, sports.
What are the sports features?
The sports features, the ESPN app is pretty sweet. Of course, you need to have cable for that to work, but that gives you the whole ESPN3 thing, and it's really slick how you can, the menu works and everything on it. It's better than the old version. And then you have the NFL app, which is really cool, but since Time Warner Cable, which is who I use, doesn't have the whole red zone package and everything, a lot of the functionality isn't there.
Well, I have the red zone channel, and I did set it up so I can watch the red zone channel on the app. And I did have the Jet game on at one point on Sunday. I had the Jet game on my big TV. And, well, actually, no, it was red zone on the big TV and the Jets in the little corner, because it wouldn't let me watch the red zone channel through the app. In the snap corner, it had to be the big, which I thought was kind of weird.
They'll probably iron that out. I think they need to iron a few things out with the NFL app. I think it's got a good start, but they could do a lot more with it.
The live scoring updates did not update.
They update really far behind. Like, if you go to the individual games and look at those are usually up to date. But if you're just on the screen that shows like every score throughout the league, those were like maybe 10 or 15 minutes behind.
Oh, mine just said 0-0. Like, I had the Jet game on in the fourth quarter, and I thought, oh, it'll be cool. I can see what all the scores are, and everything was 0-0.
Mine was like that for a long time, but then when I started cycling through the different games, then it started updating that main page.
Okay, well, maybe I just didn't give it enough
of a chance. They need to fix it regardless. It's not how it needs to be.
Yes.
Is the fantasy stuff up and running yet?
Well, it is, but you have to be on NFL.com.
Yeah, I don't do fantasy through NFL.com. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, I mean, it's a thing that's there, and I have the channels. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, I have all the channels that these apps go with, so I can use it. I can use ESPN. I can use the NFL app. I can use the FX app. I can use the CW app. I can use all these things. But there are probably a good number of people out there that, you know, only have Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu that aren't using these apps.
That haven't cared about the last half hour of the show.
Yeah. But they can use those three apps in the One Guide, though, and they don't have to open and close three different apps to see what's new on Hulu Plus, Amazon Prime, and Netflix. Well, Netflix they still have to go into. Right. Again, they need to fix that.
By the way, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon, the second season came out on Netflix this week.
Mm.
So it's pretty awesome.
Cool. We're watching the new Avengers cartoon.
Hmm. Haven't seen
it. It's getting better, the new one. It started off kind of meh, but it's getting better.
All right. Game time? Xbox One game time?
I played some of those.
What are we starting with first?
Let's start with Rise, Son of Rome first.
Okay.
That game's good.
It's good.
It's good. I like it. The graphics are really impressive, which we've known the graphics were impressive all along. Like, there was no question really there. I mean, it's a brawler in the in a very Batman style of combat. So it's fighting multiple dudes at once, and the stuff where people are like, "Oh, it's all quick time events." Those are just like the finishing moves. Mm-hmm. And you get different ones of those as you upgrade your character and everything. But it's just really satisfying, the combat. Like, for somebody who likes like a Ninja Gaiden style where it's very precise of, hey, this guy's going to do a heavy attack, so I have to dodge, and then I have to counter with this light attack and then heavy attack and so forth. It's very satisfying if you actually play the game the way they intended it. Okay. Because it actually keeps track of, say you hit a light attack, and then if you're just consistently just spamming on the buttons, you'll do okay. But if you like pay attention to, they've talked about this, the flow of the combat, which sounds really hokey.
right.
But it isn't. Like, if you watch to see like, okay, if I hit him with a light attack and then right as that light attack hits, I follow up with a heavy attack, and then I go and do like a bash after that. Like, it's a nice combat system.
And then their arms come off.
Right. Their arms come off. It's also got like a pretty
it's
good,
it's just the flesh wound,
cinematic style and story to it. Which I wasn't quite expecting. So it's very entertaining to play. I know it's short. I think it's only like 6 hours long or something like that.
Right.
But I'm really enjoying it. That's the game I sit down to play if I like am not trying out something else. Like, that's what I want to play through.
Have you tried the multiplayer?
I haven't yet. No. And the microtransaction stuff, it's in Rise, but I haven't had to use it in the single player at all. Like, there's been no reason to.
Right. I'd heard the game's not like super difficult or anything.
No. And all the power ups, they seem like they're reasonably like priced. And like, even if you die in battle, you get to keep the points that you had earned. So you can upgrade and then just continue from the very same scene that you just failed at.
Okay.
So it's not frustrating in that regard.
Cool.
I disagree that it's a 60 something on Metacritic. Like, I can understand if it was in the 70s, because it's not going to be everybody's jam. But right. I think it's a quality game.
Super Programmer John seems to like it too.
So does Hip Hop Gamer.
Well, he likes everything. He just had a baby. Hey,
he's about to be a father.
He is a father. I saw the picture.
Oh, already? Look at that. I missed it.
Congratulations, Hip Hop.
Yeah, congratulations.
Rise is a 60, a straight up 60 on Metacritic right now.
I think that's a shame.
A shame?
Yeah, I do, because it's going to scare people away from this game.
I think the word you're looking for is a Shonda.
I mentioned that I was liking it on Twitter, and a whole bunch of people like responded, and they're like, yes, this is good. I don't know. I don't quite understand the scores for it.
Well, I'm going to buy it when it comes out.
I think Shima will like watching you play it too.
Well, we did like that Spartacus, all the Spartacus stuff. We liked Rome. We like that Gladiator stuff.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Okay. Should we talk about Forza now? Is now the time?
We can.
Well, we've been playing other games too, but sure.
Well, okay. Well, Shipwreck's the only one that played Forza so far.
Yeah, I've played maybe an hour of Forza.
Okay, what do you think?
I like it. It's a very good racing game. I've got a Subaru BRZ was the first car I started with.
Yep.
You get a choice of about, I don't know, 10 or 12 cars to choose from for your first car.
Right.
All in that similar kind of class. It's set up. It's like one of these racing games where you go through and you race through your different circuits. You get credits for placing in the races, for not using rewinds, different having assists.
Yeah, it's like four. Have you played four or no? Is this your first?
Yeah, I played four.
Oh, okay.
No, I played three and four. I didn't play Horizon. The graphics are great. It's got all that Drivatar stuff. I'm not completely sold on that yet. Like, all the cars you're racing against are people like on your friends list or other people on Xbox Live, I guess. So it always starts you, so far at least, it always starts you like there's like 16 cars in a race and you always start like in 14th place. And I'm going and I see like Ben Cachero is on there and Ben Gilbert and Nick Puglio and all these people I know. And going around and then like invariably like the first big hairpin turn, it's just like a big pile up of cars.
Right.
So it's going to take a while for me to get better at the game is what it's been a while since I've played one of these, like where you can't just hammer on the gas the entire time.
Right.
But it's cool. Like the second track you go to is like the Top Gear test track. And it's got a whole bunch of the Top Gear stuff integrated in there. All the announcers and everything. I unlocked a second car. I got the Nissan 370Z because that's what I could afford. And
right.
I don't know. I wanted to try a different class of car.
You may have noticed on Twitter that I've been complaining a lot about the macro transactions in the game. I don't know if you've picked up on that. Most of my
you
tweets
have? It's funny. I hadn't even noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I read this article. Like, I haven't read any of the reviews of the game because I really just don't do that for games that I know I'm going to buy anyway. But I read this article on Eurogamer that basically talked about all the changes that they made from Forza 5 from Forza 4 to Forza 5 to really encourage you to quote unquote encourage you to spend real money on the game. And it, that it seemed more like a free-to-play model than a full $60, you know, retail release. And it seems like all the things that made it easier to get cars in Forza 4 have been taken out for Forza 5, including the auction house, which was a place where you could, you know, like you would imagine, you could buy cars from other players. There, you know, there's a leveling system in the game which would give you a car, a reward car, after every level in Forza 4. So you would really, you were earning new cars all the time. There was never really, while they had, you know, they would always let you know that you could buy cars for tokens, which you could buy for real money. I never ever felt like I needed to do that because you're just constantly receiving new cars, or you could just check out the auction house and buy new cars. They also severely gimped the free play mode, which would let you drive any of the cars in the game, you know, not in career mode, but just at least take them for a test drive around the track. And now you can't do that anymore. And there are other things that just made it, in general, harder to earn in-game credits, which is required to buy the cars. And when you look at the reasons why, they, you know, game writers have asked the question, you know, why have you made these changes? And the PR responses have been just really like ridiculous, you know, saying, oh, we, here's a quote, for those who want to spend some extra real money and get those exclusive cars, they'll have that option, but they will no longer devalue the hard work of those who earn the cars through racing and building up in-game credits. So expensive cars will have real rarity. But the problem is they've clearly changed the way the game works to get you to spend real dollars. And if you look, there was a great blog post on Giant Bomb from this guy, Falconer. And what he did is he took 20 cars from Forza 4 and 20 cars from Forza 5 and looked at what it cost if you wanted to unlock those cars with real money. So, for example, the Ferrari 250 GTO in Forza 4 only cost about $2.30 if you were going to use, you know, real money. In Forza 5, $72 average.
Okay. That's insanity.
It's insanity. Now,
who's going to do that?
Right. And it's, it goes on. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, the McLaren F1 in Forza 4, $2.31. Forza 5, $40. So it's, obviously, they're phishing. If you look in, you know, free to play iOS games, you'll usually see like some ridiculous price, like, oh, you want the you know, the super card, it's $50, just to hope like there's like a couple of suckers out there who will push the buy button on that. And that's
with
what
all of these Smurf berries.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing. And you know what? If it was a free to play game, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But it's a $60 game. And when you're buying a game at launch and you're paying full price for it, the last thing you want to feel is like you're not getting your money's worth or that you need to spend.
You just spent $500. You just spent $60. Now you want me to spend another $40 to drive a car that I could have driven for $2 in your last game.
Right, or you didn't even really feel the need to do that because you were earning enough credits in the last game at a pretty decent clip, and earning new cars.
Now, I don't know the exact clip that you earned them in the last game, but I feel like I'm earning them at a pretty decent clip in this one. Like I played through a series, so that was, I don't know, 8 events or something like that,
mm-hmm.
8 2-lap races.
Okay.
I never won a race. I was usually in either the majority of the game races, I was in the 7 to 10 place.
Okay.
And I had enough to buy, I don't know, after those 8 races, I had like 70,000 credits.
Well, that Ferrari cost 6 million credits in Forza 5.
So. Well, I didn't get the Ferrari.
Right, I know.
For an hour.
That I know. The problem is that they're bringing in the free-to-play model in a full retail release. And it almost looks like they considered, hey, maybe we'll make this a free-to-play game, and then just decided, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just charge $60 anyway and keep all this free-to-play stuff, these free-to-play mechanics in there and see who bites on it.
I think they're trying to see who's... They're trying a new business model here. They're seeing how it's going to work out.
And if it doesn't work out, you probably won't see much of it again. The real problem that you're going to have, Mr. TPD,
yes,
is if this does work out and they do make a boatload of money. Because if they make a boatload of money, it's worth it to them to lose your business.
Well, that's why we need to band together and just refuse to buy this game. Forget about refusing to buy the microtransactions. I think we should just refuse to buy the game, or at least, you know, buy it used or wait for a big price drop, which is what I'm going to do.
The game seems okay still. I bought it.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's fine. I know that the game is fine, but
He wants everyone who works there to lose their job.
No, I want to send a message
That's what he's saying. He's saying, no. Don't buy this game. Fire all of the people that are not top level, that are expendable. They won't be able to afford that secretary anymore. Pack your bags, Doris. CPD says you got to go.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think you can send that same message to Doris by buying the game and just not buying this extra stuff.
I don't think so.
Pay attention to what percentage of people actually bought some of this microtransaction stuff.
That's the point, though. The point is they don't need a big percentage of people. They're fishing for whales, right? They're fishing for that guy who's like, doesn't realize that he's spending $70 on one car, or that he bought the $50 season pass and still doesn't actually have the cars, that he still needs to spend real money to actually use them in career mode or spend the in-game credits.
That's been a problem with the Forza series for a while.
Yes, though. And it's ridiculous, and I'm never falling for that trick again. And if you look at their Twitter account, you see a lot of people have fallen for that trick. They're like, where are the cars? I bought the limited edition. How come the cars aren't in my garage? Oh, you still have to unlock them. Like, I mean, it's not clear. They're basically trying to trick people into spending money, I think. And I recognize that the game is probably great, but I feel like if I buy this game now at full price and you know, not used, that I'm sending the message that I'm okay with that, and I'm not okay with that. And as much as I want to play the game, I do have enough willpower to go play some of the other.
I'll say there are other racing games out there that, you know, I've been playing the Need for Speeds.
It's great.
That game is awesome. I have it on the Xbox. That's one of my Xbox games that I have.
Right.
I've been playing as a cop.
Hold on, we're not ready for that yet.
Oh, excuse me. Are you still you're still ranting about Forza?
No. Well, yeah, I am, because it's annoying.
No, so now keep going. So let's now let the devs ball came go out. Down the hill. What do we got? What's next?
The devs came out and they said, "Well, we see that the community has a problem with the economy, and we're going to look into that."
An outroar.
Yeah, exactly. And so they went and they've decided to have they're having a Black Friday sale. So now the cars are half price for 2 days or for the weekend, whatever.
So now it's $35 for the best car.
Yeah. It's just, it's insulting. And, you know, this is the one game. This was going to be my launch game. This was going to be the one game that I was interested
in. I think you should still get it.
I can't.
Just so I can, you can have
I think you should get Rise.
Run you off the road.
I will get Rise. I just
Zoo,
I can't
and
support
you can get
it.
Zoo Tycoon. I don't have either one of those games, by the way. But you can get Rise and Zoo Tycoon.
I will. That's my plan, actually. Super Programmer John made a very good point about when I was saying, it's like this. It's like they wanted to do a free to play game, but then I don't know. They just said fuck it. He said it's the classic Microsoft move. They want to go in a new direction, but don't want to commit to it, and they end up with the worst of both worlds as a result. So. I don't know. I think, you know, it's on, and you look at the thread on the Forza forum, you look at the thread on NeoGAF, there are a lot of people complaining about it. And as we saw from the whole DRM business before these consoles launch, our voices actually do make a difference. You see, we do affect how these companies operate. So don't just think that you have to suck it up and, you know, just, you know, go along with the ride. You don't. Keep complaining and vote with your wallet. And now we can move on to something else. Ta-da.
How's Need for Speed, Wombat?
Yes.
I enjoy that game very much. And it's a lot of fun to play. And my son loves it, which is also cool. He says police car fall down a lot.
Right.
Police car fall down. But when I put on those sirens, it's like we both get super excited.
It's exciting, that game, right? If you could, that's the one word I would use to describe it.
It is, and it's so much fun when you see that car come by with a number on top of it, and like, oh, I could pull that car. I could stop that car.
Yep.
Woo!
Or when you see it's a real person and not just, you know, not like.
Well, I have it set, because I play with my kids around, I have it set to private, to offline. Offline mode. Yeah. Because I have it set to offline. I have eyes for that very reason, but it's still so much fun. I even like just changing the name on the license plate on every car.
Yeah, I like
that. I've got an Elliot car. I've got a Sabrina car. I've got cars named after their favorite colors. It really depends. And I change it on a whim depending upon what my daughter tells me to do.
Yeah, I like that they've added the personalization to the on the racer side to the car.
And the cool thing is, and this is a very good Xbox One thing, is we could go straight from saying, I really don't want to watch another whatever this show is on the Disney Channel, and one of my children will say, well, then let's play a game, and I could hit a button and go right into the game.
Right, right.
And there's no delay, and that's pretty awesome.
I was you know,
as long as you've installed it.
I was surprised that the PS4 didn't have that. I assumed that if I was playing a game and then put the PS4 into standby mode, I could just pop it back up and just continue. But no, it shuts everything down. And I did notice that I looked it up. The Xbox version and the PS4 version of Need for Speed seem to be pretty identical graphically.
Oh, they are? Okay. I was going to say, yeah. You know what? I honestly think it looks amazing.
It does.
And it's not even as much the cars, although the cars look great. I'm not putting the cars down in any way. But when the first time we drive through a cornfield, and just the amount of things, like that's where you really see the difference between, and this is for both consoles, I'm not being a, you know, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. The amount of stuff they can fit on a screen is really impressive. And the detail in the leaves on a tree, You notice it.
Yeah, the lighting when the sun comes up, and the, you know, it looks great.
Yeah, and it's really impressive, and that game is just a lot of fun. It's one of the four games I have right now. I actually got a nice care package in the mail from a friend of mine, friend of the show, sent me a nice little care package, and in it was Call of Duty Ghosts, and Angry Birds Star Wars.
Sure, he's your friend.
You know what? I played Angry Birds Star Wars with my I left the game wrapped on my coffee table, And my daughter came home from dance class on Saturday and saw Angry Birds on the table and squealed. So you know what? Say what you want. Made right. my kids happy. And okay. it was I got to play video games in the afternoon. That's a win-win.
Yep. And there's really no microtransactions in the what's it called? Need for Speed. It's not constantly hounding you money or anything.
I think you could, but I don't know. Has it
there's
come
one DLC pack. There's like the Time Saver pack that just unlocks everything.
That's fine. I like that way of doing it better when it's just a DLC pack that you can go search out on your own.
Of course.
I get really tired of seeing all these different currencies up on the screen.
In Forza.
In every game. It's just annoying. Like you have the in-game currency and then you have the fake in-game currency. And it pulls you out of your experience a little bit too. Like say in Rise, you can upgrade your character with either Valor, which you earn in the game, or you can upgrade him with
dollars.
Yeah, whatever they tokens or something. And it's like, well, Marius, the character in the game, he has no way of getting these tokens. You're just reinforcing the idea that, hey, I'm not even playing a game to get this stuff. Like, I'm just paying you.
That sucks. That's shitty. That's the word. The word is shitty.
You don't have to do it in that game, but I just don't like to see it there.
Yeah, no, I understand. I get it. Ugh. Blah.
And really, we got to stop calling these things microtransactions. I mean,
transactions?
When a single car is costing $70, or anything more than a dollar or two is not a microtransaction. I like macro transaction or ass rape. One of those is fine. I don't know.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Call of Duty, but not as much as I would have liked to.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good. It's Call of Duty. And I played a good amount of Skylanders Swap Force for the Xbox One.
How's that?
That's fun. Yeah. It's Skylandery. Shipwreck, have you played any yet?
No, I haven't had a chance. I picked it up during the Amazon/Walmart $37 sale.
That is how I got it as well.
And I have all kinds of characters for it. I just haven't played it yet.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I still have all my Series 1. I have every Skylander from Series 1, plus the three that came in the package. And then Amazon sent both of us another one. I didn't realize there was a buy this thing, get a free Skylander deal going on. But they sent me another one. So, yeah. I have plenty of Skylanders to play that game with. So I figured, what the heck, why not? And it's fun. I mean, I honestly have no idea what the differences are between this generation version and the current, the old, I don't know, the one version versus the 360 version. Like, how much better or worse it looks. I can't imagine it looks very much different at all. There's nothing about it that impresses me.
It'll look crisper, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I don't think there are any, there's probably no changes.
No.
Other than that.
Did you get Lego Marvel?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have, like I said, I have Need for Speed and I have Skylanders, and it's two games that my kids are enjoying. Yep. They don't need three games at once.
Right. What about, speaking of kid-friendly games, what about Zoo Tycoon? Shep, you been playing that?
I haven't. I've played a little bit of that. That thing is pretty adorable.
Ty will like it.
Yeah. Like, it's got the whole... You can zoom out and do it from the overhead view to do all of your tycoon-y stuff, like the old Zoo Tycoons. But then it also has, you can zoom back in and you're a zookeeper guy running around the zoo. And you can go up to the different animals and with the Kinect controls. You might be able to do it with the controller too, but I was doing it with Kinect. You can like reach out and pick up fruit and then hold it up to the screen. And the animals come over and eat it out of your hand.
Hmm.
You can like play little, I don't know, like hide and seek with monkeys type of things, or like where they ape your motions, which is cute. There's a bunch of stuff. It's like, this is going to be a pretty fun game for kids.
Can I inseminate a hippo?
I
don't think he's asking about the game. I think he's asking, can he inseminate a hippo?
Technically.
Technically. I mean, I think you could implant your seed in a hippo, but I don't know if you can actually inseminate it.
I wouldn't have a hippo human baby.
No, you would know hippo human hybrid baby.
Has everybody tried that? I mean, do we know that for a fact?
Get on that.
I don't know, but I'm all for hippo D coming soon.
Okay, so that's,
no, it seems really good. I'm still going through all the tutorials. I have an issue where my cat, if she is in the room, there are often butterflies on the screen in this game.
Yeah.
And she will immediately bolt for the TV and try to kill the butterflies.
Damn, those next-gen butterflies.
I know. It's yeah, I have to either lock her up somewhere to play it, which seems kind of mean to play with my virtual animals by locking up my actual animals. Right. Or wait until she's sleeping somewhere and then I can play.
Right.
I went to the to the game store on the Xbox One, and I opened it up, and I'm sitting on the couch, and it's me and it's Elliot and Sabrina, and I go to Zoo Tycoon, and I'm like, you know what? I'll buy the game. I have $30 in credit. It wouldn't, you know, half off. I'll buy that game, essentially. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy this game. And I'm like, Elliot, do you want to play the game with the elephants? And he starts yelling at me, and he goes, no, police cars.
Well, yeah,
police cars. So I'm like, awesome. All right, police cars it is. Save my money.
Yeah, I've played a lot of that game, the Need for Speed, way too much. Have you tried the iOS app as well?
No, I just drive as a policeman and knock people off the road. Because that's, you know, that's what policemen do. They hit other cars until they explode. That's
Well, the story is very riveting in the game. It explains all that very well.
Right, they must be stopped.
It's a little too serious, I think, but it's okay. It's a great game.
It's cheesy, though.
They took Most Wanted and Hot Pursuit, and they basically combined them into one great game.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it looks pretty. And I could use my LB button to make sirens go on and off.
Yeah. Are there any other Xbox One games that we need to talk about?
I've played maybe 45 minutes to an hour of Dead Rising 3.
Oh, okay. How's that?
There's a lot of zombies on screen.
That's
in
good.
Game. Yeah. It's you can, of course, play without a time limit now.
Nice.
I mean, there's specific... like things that make sense are still like on a time limit. Like you have this long to save this person type of thing, but it's not as strict as the old ones.
Right. You don't have to be in a certain place to proceed.
Right. Or your whole game explodes. But it's you can combine items anywhere now, which is nice. So you can just be like standing somewhere. You don't have to go find a workbench to put stuff together. Yeah, it seems like...
Can you save anywhere now, too?
There is... If you go to the menus, I haven't started my game back up to see where it'll keep me at. But if you go to the menu, there is a save option now. I'm wondering if maybe there's only one quick save if you do it that way.
How does it look? Does it look next gen? I heard...
It looks nice. It's not...
It's a little rough.
The number of zombies is what blows you away because it still has a very cartoony style to it, which is kind of what I wanted. The stuff they showed at E3 kind of scared me in that it was going to be too serious.
Right.
But it's very much a Dead Rising game. The first save point was at a portalette. So... Right. I don't know the difference between saving at a bathroom and just saving in a menu yet.
Right. It must be something.
Yeah, it must be something horrible that Capcom has dreamt up here. And I've been playing, you can play it to where other people can join in your game and for the co-op. Mm-hmm. But I've just been playing solo because I don't know. I just don't like it if people are going to be in there messing around with my stuff.
Gotcha. All right. Anything else on the Xbox One?
I played some NBA 2K14 for comparison.
Ah, so, yes.
Myself and the other three people that watched us play back-to-back on the Xbox One versus the PS4, we all agreed the PS4 version just looked better. If you go to IGN and look at their comparisons, They seem to think they look the same. I don't know. My eyeballs tell me differently. My eyeballs say the PS4 version is the one that looks amazing, and the Xbox One version looks pretty good.
Huh.
Okay. So you're saying I bought the wrong console?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that NBA 2K14 is a game that
you're saying I wasted my money.
You lost. You lost the console war.
Did I lose the console war, Shipwreck? Is that what you're telling me?
You'll be perfectly happy with NBA 2K14 on Xbox One, Wombat.
I'm sure I will be when I never buy it.
Exactly. Let's do a quick... Is that it for the Xbox One?
I think that's it for the Xbox One.
I played some Killer Instinct.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I played a little of that, too.
That's that game's way too hard for you, Wombat.
I was a wolf man. I hit people.
So overall, are you impressed with the Xbox One? Is it basically what you expected? Does the stuff work, the voice and Kinect stuff work a little better or worse than you expected? What would you say right now is your impression, Wombat?
My first initial impression, and this is knowing what the 360 console became, is that when I play it, I can see that there is tremendous potential for this to become something very special. Okay. It is not something very special today.
Okay.
But I think in a year or even 2 years, maybe sooner, I think this is going to be something where it could be very special and very awesome. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it now, and I'm happy I have it. I'm thrilled I have it, to be perfectly honest. But I think that the potential to do things that, you know, to really do things that separate it from this previous generation that was probably the best generation of consoles we've ever had, you know, I'm excited for that.
Excellent. Ship?
Yeah, I think the groundwork's there for this to be a really exciting console. Like, it, just looking between the two consoles, the Xbox One is the one that seems a lot more ambitious in its scope.
Like, sure.
The PS4, it plays games very well. The games look very nice. It has some extra, you can watch Netflix on it, that type of thing. It's just the integration of everything on the Xbox One is pretty impressive. They still need to get the Twitch stuff in there, which is coming later. I tried some of the Xbox DVR and the upload stuff. That stuff works well.
Mm-hmm. I tried uploading something and I don't think it worked, but if you get a chance, you should try to watch my Angry Bird Star Wars video.
How do we do that?
I think you have to have an Xbox One.
Xbox. Watch Wombat's Angry Bird Star Wars video.
That's the thing. You don't have to have an Xbox One. It will automatically keep clips that your friends can see. If you have an Xbox One, it'll keep however many, I don't know, clips until it just cycles through them as you get new ones. But you can also upload clips either through a quick version, or there's an app on there that where you can do more editing type of things to it. Very light editing. But then that uploads it to your SkyDrive, and then you can share that link with anybody.
Gotcha. Okay, let's do a quick little ad for our friends at GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. We have new coupon codes, everybody, so listen up. Okay, this one's the same. We still have $2.49 domain registration or transfers with coupon code CAG249, but we also have some new ones. You can create a new website with Web Builder 7 and host it for $1 a month for 12 months with coupon code WSB9. And also, you can get $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months with a free domain with coupon code HOSTOFF1 and 30% off new order purchases with coupon code 30DEAL1. And we'll have those codes up in the CanCast thread if you didn't memorize them already.
Got them all memorized.
Perfect.
Hasselhoff1. For yes. Dollar something, 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 something.
Exactly.
Website Builder 7 with code exactly. WSB9.
Xbox, redeem code. Hasselhoff.
One thing that needs to be improved, though, is the install speeds on the Xbox One. If they can get those more in the range that Sony has, that'd be great.
It's funny. I don't have any games that are big enough yet where that's been a problem for me.
Right, it seems to be on like the Battlefields, the NBA game. But you know what's weird is that I've seen the articles where they compare the times. I still don't understand why it took me over 3 hours to install NBA 2K14 when it says on IGN that it only takes like 30 something minutes. But yet I've seen other people on Twitter say that they've had the same problem.
I wonder if it's some difference between the download version and the disc version.
That could be it. I wonder. Yeah, because I wonder if they're probably just testing the disc version.
I wonder if everyone can hear my daughter screaming in the background now.
Wah, I want to play with the elephants. Yeah. I want to inseminate a hippo. Let's talk about PS4 a little bit because we've had more time to play with it. More importantly, I've had a lot more time to play Assassin's Creed 4. Has anyone else been playing that or am I going solo?
Yeah, no, I've played quite a bit of it too.
Dude, I love this game. This game is fucking awesome. Have you gotten your boat yet and everything? Your ship, I mean?
Yeah, I've done my boat. I've got my crew.
And so the game's open.
I don't know. I've completed the first island, the main island.
Okay.
I forget where you... Where?
I don't know. But oh, is okay.
The first island after you get your boat.
Okay.
Nassau, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And then now I'm out sailing around and doing different things.
I mean, first of all, the game looks ridiculous. I think it looks just amazing. The lighting effects. I mean, it's just a gorgeous game. Whether you're running around the islands or you're on your ship, I think the game just looks so good. But I love the sea battles. I love the whole... They really exceeded my expectations with how the sea battles work. And when you disable the ships, you can board the enemy ship and, you know, take out their crew and then steal all their goodies or recruit their men and all that stuff. I don't see that ever really getting old to me. Just that part alone, I would just, you know, sail around and do that and have a great time.
The most disappointing thing I have is, like, I have all this money because I do every little side quest and
right,
go grab every little icon that's on the screen.
Yeah.
But everything in my menu says I can't upgrade it until I progress further.
Well, you're very, very early.
I am still, but it's like, maybe they should have hidden some of that stuff in the menus because it's just like nothing but menus. And I'm just looking at all this stuff like, man, I could buy all of this stuff, but I can't because I haven't progressed in the story far enough yet.
Yeah, I like the combat. I like how they've seemed to learn from the previous Assassin's, the complaints from the previous games, where they took out basically all the frustrating stuff. They improved, you know, the checkpoints in missions. When I die now, I don't feel like I've wasted my time because I have to start far back or anything like that. It just seems a lot more user friendly, which is one of the big complaints for the Assassin's Creed 3, I played it about 4 hours, and it was just so slow to get going. And this one, they fixed that. Like, you get your ship and everything pretty quick, and the world opens up for you to have fun within an hour, I would say.
Unless you grab all of the icons on the map. Yes. Then it's about 4 hours in, maybe?
Right. But there's just so much stuff to do. I mean, I love this game. I think it's amazing.
I've been playing... I would say a good percentage on the Vita through the remote play for this now.
Okay.
Simply because my wife would be watching TV or there's a baby in the house. So there's not a lot of time to,
yeah.
Like if she's going to watch TV, I'm not going to say, hey, I'm going to play Assassin's Creed, get off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it works. I still don't think it's that exciting. I've been trying not to do any of the story missions on the Vita, simply just go around and collect stuff.
Is the problem the way the game looks or just that you're using an inferior controller?
It's both. I mean, with the shield, you get PC, like not quite what you get on your PC, but you get like better than like a 360 type of graphics coming out of that thing.
Okay.
Like it's pretty high end on that small screen. On the Vita, it's just kind of muddy looking when you're doing remote play. It doesn't look nearly as good as what it does on the TV.
Right.
And then that coupled with the controls, it works.
It's gotcha. Just, yeah. Okay. Are you liking the game as much as I am, or is this just seem
no,
like
I,
another
yeah,
Assassin's
that's
Creed
my,
game?
That's been one of my go-to games just because it's relaxing to play. It's just something about going around and like, okay, I'm gonna run over here and just grab all this stuff for a while, or I'm gonna go to a ship battle,
or hunt.
Yeah, or go hunt something.
Have you caught any sharks yet?
I have not.
It's a whole new like little mini game catching sharks and whales and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I did some hand to hand combat with a crocodile.
You did? I just shot him.
Yeah, that would probably was the better option.
I had to show Ty the game because it was so cool. So I don't know if that makes me a bad person or not.
Look at how cool
I don't
it
know
is.
If it makes you
he
a bad
stabs
person.
Him right in the throat, like multiple times.
Right. Or shooting monkeys out of a tree. That's probably even worse. I'm like, Ty, we got to get these monkeys because we need a new holster for a gun. So
those are evil
down.
Monkeys.
Yeah, they go flying out of the tree.
The hunting aspect is kind of like, I don't know, like the first time it says like, assassinate these ocelots. I was like, what, why am I, oh, I got a new pouch. Okay.
Oh, air assassinate, right? That's one of the
yeah, it was air assassinate. So you have to climb up in these trees.
So does it kind of borrow this from Far Cry 3?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You use those things to craft upgrades for yourself. Like, so you can
Far Cry 3
pistols. But, yeah. Far Cry 3. Exactly.
Yeah. But you're not stylistically jumping out of trees with your big old like swan dive to stab ocelots in the throat with your wrist knives
right.
in yeah. Far Cry.
Shooting the monkeys out of the tree was a little rough for Ty. I mean, he didn't care, but I was like, I felt a little bad, but I had a nice explanation, discussion with Ty about, he knows that all this stuff in video games is fake and you don't behave this way in real life and all that. He's pretty smart. So I'm not too worried about it.
There's not many monkeys around or guns for him to shoot them with.
Exactly. Exactly. So I love this game. I think it's awesome. I think if you were turned off like I was from Assassin's Creed 3, have no fear. This game is infinitely better.
I have no idea what's going on with the main storyline now, though.
You probably haven't done much in the main story, it sounds like.
No, I mean in the real world story.
Oh, it's cool. I think it's pretty cool. I think you'll like it. I mean,
okay.
Anyway, any other games that we need to talk about here that we've been
no,
playing?
No, I think we're ready for some keg baggy yeah. stuff.
I will say overall, like the PlayStation 4 interface is just not, it's, I mean, I obviously can't personally compare it to the Xbox One, but as you guys say, it does sound like the Xbox One has more potential. I mean, it just does more, it seems, in a more exciting way, but I don't know. But yeah,
the PS4 though, the interface, it's faster than the Xbox One interface is.
Okay. Cool. Okay, let's move on to the CAG bag. The Trench 360 writes in and asks, do you think the Xbox One will catch up to the PS4 graphically, or are they forever inferior due to the RAM they chose?
Well, as a RAM expert.
Yes, Wombat, go on.
And that's all I got.
Shipwreck, you have any thoughts about this?
The PS4 is going to be graphically superior.
Forever.
This generation. Yeah, it's the gap isn't going to close. The Xbox One games are going to look good as well. I mean, it's.
But you look at a game for Need for Speed where they, you know, Digital Foundry said that they're basically identical.
Right.
It doesn't
There's
mean.
There's going to be plenty of ones like that.
Yeah, because that's how they're developed. It's not a
And then you look at a game like Rise that was developed specifically for the Xbox One, and mm-hmm. it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't worry about the difference in graphics, really.
But I do worry.
They're both going to look good.
But,
do you worry?
I want the best.
Do you? You don't care.
Well, you didn't buy a PC, so.
Wah, 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 wah.
Right.
Killer Ramen writes in and asks for our thoughts on the Retron 5 delay to 2014. They keep delaying this thing. What's going on?
They said that they found some issues with some of the ones they had manufactured. The pins on them were malfunctioning.
Okay.
So they decided to delay to 2014. So
I see. All right. Well, I guess you gotta wait. Real VGN writes in and asks, now that both next-gen consoles require a live subscription, which do you guys feel is a better deal, more bang for your buck?
It's PS Plus. It's no question.
Yeah, I mean, look at the games. I mean, you got on launch day, you got...
two games on launch day for a new console. You know what Xbox One gave you?
Gears of War.
A slap in the face. It literally, when the box came, the guy rang the doorbell. I said, great. He goes, oh, do you have Xbox Live Gold? I said, I sure do.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's cheaper. PS Plus is $10 cheaper. List price, anyway. Yeah.
You got to pay both of them, though. It doesn't matter.
Well, but also, if you want to run Netflix on PS Plus, I mean, on PlayStation, you don't need to buy PS Plus, right?
True.
And on Xbox, you do, which I forgot about that.
But if you're not going to buy one of the subscriptions, I mean, I understand if you're not going to do that, but you can't expect to get the full functionality out of either one of these machines then.
Right.
It's a service that you're paying for.
Right. But to answer this guy's question, PS Plus.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let's see. Aiko Konis wants to know what everyone's overall best feature with the new consoles is. Do you have a favorite feature with either console? Like, for me, it's really, like, for PS4, like, I can't think of any. What are the new features with PS4 besides, like, the game? I mean, I guess the game streaming.
That's the Twitch only... stuff is cool. The installing as you play is much better than the last time around.
Okay. And he also asked about the worst feature. Obviously, the worst feature is Microsoft trying to shoehorn free-to-play transaction schemes into full retail games. That has to be the worst feature. Let's see. Maybe that's it for now.
Well, we didn't say what? Everyone's best and worst feature. Just yours.
Yeah, sorry.
I guess
go
that's
ahead.
Enough. Just
no,
that's fine.
No. I want to.
If that's
yours.
The way the show works, that's fine. I didn't know that.
I want to hear yours.
I was just going to say the fact that it, you know, the best feature of the Xbox One is really what it's supposed to do, quote unquote. The whole thing where running your cable box through the Xbox and into your TV and having it all work. I'd say the worst feature is sometimes the sound gets wonky. And I don't know if that's an issue that you have had either, Ship.
I've not had sound be wonky. After the first, I don't know, 2 days, all of a sudden the cable just froze up and I had to reboot everything. So hopefully that's not going to be a recurring issue.
But that may not be an Xbox issue. That may be your cable issue.
Right. But then that becomes it's an issue.
It's still an issue. That is true.
Right.
But not one you can blame Microsoft for is where I was going with that.
Well,
it's weird.
Time Warner Cable's they might want to be on board with it.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Like the dependency of your cable company still being on board with whatever it is they're doing, because they could turn off your ESPN app and your NFL app and your CW app very, very easily. So that's probably something. And it's just every now and again, if I don't have my soundbar on, which I don't always have it on when I'm watching something and I just have the TV speakers on, I don't get the audio.
Why do you do that?
Because I have children that are asleep.
You can turn the volume down on your soundbar, right?
I can, I know. But sometimes it's just, you know, easier. But no, I have to keep the soundbar.
That doesn't sound easier. That sounds ridiculous.
Whatever.
You have to change then the how it outputs sound on your TV when you do that?
No, it's just no. I don't have to change anything.
Do you have sound coming out of the speakers of your TV and the soundbar at the same time?
No, not anymore.
You mean after I just asked you the question, you just changed it?
No, when I used to have be able to watch my TV only on the TV, I could have the sound coming out of the TV and the soundbar at the same time. When I didn't have my cable box running through the Xbox One, I could watch TV and have the sound come out of everything at once.
You don't want that, I don't think.
I don't. I probably don't. But you know, what do I care?
I don't know. You may want it to sound good. I don't know. Who knows? But, anyway, one last question. This is from Perfidious Sin, and he wants to know if we think microtransactions on Xbox One games would be as aggressive if the used game ban never went away. So if we had, okay, so if you couldn't sell your games back, would they have still bothered with the microtransactions? Yes, absolutely. They are going to try to make as much money as possible. It's not like they're going to say, oh, you know, we're just going to back off a little bit because we're going to turn away this potential revenue stream just because we don't have used games. They're going to try to get as much as they can.
They'd be silly not to try it almost. Like, if they thought it could be increasing their profits,
they will do it.
Like, right. You're not going to say to your stockholders, no, we're not going to do that if we think this might improve our profits.
Right. They will do whatever it takes. You know, any public company is going to try.
It's the same reason that Killer Instinct game came out the way it did. They're trying to see what the profit margins on doing a game like that is. Hey, we put out this game. It has one character. You have to buy the rest of the characters. Let's see what it does. Let's see if this is a profitable venture.
Right. I don't think the price structure on Killer Instinct is crazy at all. You know, for $20, you can get, you know, what would essentially be an arcade game. An Xbox Live arcade game.
Yeah, like I said, if Forza was a free game, I wouldn't have no problem with the microtransaction scheme at all. But it's not. So
well, maybe if they see how the profits are on Killer Instinct and doing it that way is better than doing full retail releases.
Maybe, yeah.
Then we get games that – I really don't want it to go that way, though. I hate free-to-play.
Yeah.
I hate the
Me
model.
Too.
Well, it affects when you – because you have to build the game around a way to make money. And that's usually –
you got to make people buy Smurf Berries.
Right.
I mean, that's the end game there.
Yeah. And when you're doing that in Forza 5, I don't want to buy your Smurf Berries. I want to just get the game for $60. Don't make me angry, Smurf Berry bastards. Anyway, I think that's it for the show. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Hanukkah to everybody. Follow us on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck. Definitely want to be following at Video Game Deals this time of year because a lot of deals, obviously. And listen to Wombat's other podcast, Uninformed Opinions. What do you talk about this week?
We tried to actually talk about Black Friday, but it kind of devolved into weirdness.
So you're saying we recommend you don't listen to this week's show?
Is that no, I actually no. truly, honestly recommend it. It has one of the best jokes I ever made on it.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, so you obviously that's required listening for everybody to see what Wombat thinks his best joke ever is.
Just it's, for that one and reason. Yeah, it's worth it for that. Just so you can go, I don't know, you've done better, but we'll right. find out.
Excellent. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Don't buy Forza 5. We'll see you next week.
Bread's done for an extra $50.
Is your mom there?
No, I'm home alone.
Well, you won a prize. What's your address?
42 Oak Street.
Hey, Roblox, some stranger's bringing me a prize.
A stranger, huh? All he wanted to bring you was trouble. Remember, never tell anyone you're home alone and never give anyone your address.
I'll say mom can't come to the phone.
Smart thinking.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.